Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
If you can tell anything about the show that we're having this evening, it really does help us put things into context. How our geopolitical environment plays an influence on our economics, but more so, what it means for you and I when it comes to our pockets. And the truth is, we can't control what Donald Trump will tweet this weekend, next weekend, or in August. We can't control how our currency might respond to some of these external factors. We can't even control or influence our local MPC. But what we do have a handle on is our own finances. And that typically means what it is that you're doing, not only to manage your finances on a month to month operating, saving and budgeting, but what you also need to do and plan for from a long-term point of view. Where are you investing your money? Well, we've got some help from a good friend of the show who will help us put into context some of the objectives and, of course, ideas and even stocks that we can consider when it comes to long-term investing in the year 2025. Chantel Marks, Head of Investment Research at FNB Wealth and Investments, joins us now to tell us more. Chantel, such a pleasure to have you.
Yes, it's wonderful to be back on the show. I'm so happy I'm regarded as a friend of the show, Google. So I'm very happy to be with you guys tonight.
Oh, Chantel, you're always a good friend of the show. And I guess even more so now, right? Because regardless of whether you're at the Braai, at the school drop-off, or even in the boardroom, everyone is just talking about, hold on, there's a lot happening in the world, but what does it mean for my money? And I guess before we take a look at some of the stock picks, now more than ever, this is really a time where South Africans should be considering the influence and the decisions that they make in terms of their long-term investment strategy. It really does need to be considered.
Yes, so it is only about two opportunities a year to really make a meaningful impact on your longer term investment returns when the opportunities strike, when things are quite volatile, when it seems as if the world is in turmoil, and when things are quite uncertain. The issue is just that usually when investors and savers are at their most frightened about what is going to happen in the long-term future. But you can often make very, very good long-term stock picks in particular, but also investment decisions when thinking about investing in a exchange-traded fund, for example, when there is that volatility and then prices are quite low. The only thing that we are saying this year, instead of just being able to buy an index, it's so complicated, right? Because if we look at where the big growth has come from over the last few years, you've had a U.S. market that has been absolutely rampant. And on the flip side, more recently, we have severe rand weakness. So when you are deciding to take money offshore, you could actually miss out on some pretty decent returns because the rand could strengthen from these levels. So that's also something to take into account. The way we always look at local picks, and we always look at international picks as well. And then we try to identify the themes and we try to look at companies that are offering a good opportunity.
And maybe let's start on that mix, right? Because typically many South Africans tend to want to invest offshore from a fear point of view, instead of understanding the importance of diversification. There's often this threat that, oh, nothing's growing in South Africa, I'm taking my money abroad. But the truth is, we all can and we all should, because it is part of a diversified approach. Help us, I guess, also contextualize that in our minds before we all start wanting to take our money overseas without understanding the standard that might be involved.
Yes, so diversification is very, very important. But if you take all of your money offshore, you are actually taking a risk on the rand as well, because you are taking a risk that the rand will continue to weaken and that it won't necessarily see any sort of strength. So taking all of your money offshore could actually end up being detrimental to your rand, returns. Even though the rand is a structurally weakening currency, I think most analysts would agree that, and most economists would agree that the rand is very undervalued at the moment. So most of your opportunities, if you don't have dollars offshore already, will actually be to invest in South African companies right now. What you must also consider from a personal finance perspective is that there's this theory called asset liability matching. And if you think about the very long term, your biggest liability is your retirement, right? And your retirement, if you're going to retire in South Africa, will be denoted in rand. So you have to match your assets, which are your investments, to that future liability as well from a currency perspective. So diversification is important, but you also need to be invested in South Africa. And of course, South Africa and emerging markets also offer diversification benefits.
Yeah. You just took me back to finance in university, the time value of money. Oh, boy. We're constantly trying to work against that. Chantal, let's talk about some of the opportunities then that we can explore and maybe starting offshore. So far, we've heard a lot of noise around the Magnificent Seven. And the truth is the noise is justified because, boy, oh, boy, those share prices actually racked up. But give us a better understanding of, number one, some stocks that we should consider in our international portfolio, and fundamentally, what supports this underlying value and the growth story behind some of these stocks?
Well, so when we looked at stock picks for the long term this year, we were very focused on valuation because momentum is a powerful force, right? So I wouldn't necessarily take all of my money out of these big technology stocks. But the reality is that these companies are looking quite expensive. And we have seen that big reaction from the DeepSeek development already in some of these prices, but it's not enough to actually make it a compelling investment opportunity. I do think the opportunity will come. I just don't think right now is the time. The companies look quite expensive. So we started broadening our horizons a little bit and started looking for companies that are really, really solid and should be able to withstand a lot of volatility and uncertainty, have proven track records, have interesting products, and we came up with a very diverse list. And top of the list is Birkenstock, the sandal company. And yeah, and it sounds a little bit weird because Birkenstocks are quite niche, but I don't know if you own a pair of Birkies, but I have a pair of Birkies that I've owned for 7 years, and it is fantastic. And I think it's actually value for money if you look at cost per wear. And a lot of Europeans and US consumers actually agree. So we've seen sales increase quite rapidly. The company was had a lot of debt because it was in private equity, but they're looking to have zero debt in a few years' time. And they own almost their entire supply chain, from the cork that is being produced for the sole of the shoe, the footbed they make internally as well, so that's the footbed in the Birkenstock. They're starting to integrate even the Italian tanneries that color the leather that goes onto your Birkenstock. And that results in really nice margin gains. And a very interesting thing about this story is that they have grown quite rapidly, but they still only have 65 stores globally. So that footprint can be rolled out quite a bit. And then the others that we mentioned were L'Oreal. We know L'Oreal. A lot of people don't know how many different brands are in L'Oreal, but just to mention a few, Garnier, Maybelline, Urban Decay, Mueller, Vichy, SkinCeuticals, CeraVe, all of these brands are in the L'Oreal stable, and the stock has been under quite a bit of pressure recently. And that's not because they're not profitable. It's not because they're not generating cash flow, but there's been some negative sentiments around consumer stocks generally. Then Novo Nordisk, the guys who make Ozempic, that share price has come down to very reasonable levels after doing exceptionally well over the last few years. So we think that's a good buying opportunity as well. Then BlackRock. BlackRock is the world's largest asset manager, and they seem to do well when investors have more money in their pockets. And with lower interest rates, we think that there is an opportunity there. And finally, offshore, L3Harris Technology. These guys are an aerospace and defense technology company, and geopolitics is a reality. The world of war is a reality, and some of these companies stand to benefit from that, unfortunately. L3Harris developed very interesting technologies, basically focusing on communication, airborne systems, and integrated missions. And we think that they could benefit from continued big contract wins as well as annuity income from existing contracts over the next few years.
Got you. That's quite a favorable list that you've put together there and have substantiated it. So definitely looking at those opportunities. Why just wear Birkenstock when you can own it, even if it's for more than 7 years there, Chantal? But let's come closer to home because it seems as though there's a few firm favorites as well that we should consider adding to our portfolio. Talk us through some of these because I do see that there's an interesting mix between technology and, of course, some of the consumer stocks that we used to.
Yes, so I think our first pick is a mustache process. So either one of the two will work. And these companies have been under some pressure recently because Tencent was actually added to a very specific list of companies that are accused of doing business with the Chinese military. And this is a US-based list. But this specific list isn't a really bad list, which means that US investors can still own Tencent. You can still be business with Tencent. They're just suspected of doing business with the Chinese military. Tencent has also said that they are really not. And I do think that this situation will resolve itself over the next few months. Tencent is Prosus's biggest shareholding, or its biggest part of its portfolio, and for Nasdaq, Prosus is the biggest part of its portfolio. So that's how that is related. Aside from that, Nasdaq and Prosus have a new CEO who is really driven, likes making deals and likes incubating businesses and likes combining businesses. So we're actually expecting a really nice value unlock from some of the lesser known companies within the Nasdaq Prosus stable. And then at the same time, they're buying back shares because they are trading at huge discounts to their underlying fundamental value, and management is trying to lighten that. So I think that opportunity is still there. I think if we start seeing any sort of improvement in sentiment towards China in particular, where valuations are still quite soft, you could see a really nice recovery in both Nasdaq and Prosus. And then we have Sun International, which I think is just such an interesting company. They've done so well post-COVID-19. They have a very stable balance sheet. It just seems as if things are moving in the right direction for them in terms of international and local tourism. And they have a big gambling business as well and a fast-growing online betting business. So that growth vector is there for them as well. Then we have the Foschini Group. So we all know the Foschini Group, but it's not just Foschini. It's At Home, it's Stern, it's Soccer Sports, it's Sports Scene, it's Jets, and a few companies or a few businesses in the UK and Australia as well. That share price is down almost 20% year to date. So a really nice buying opportunity where I think that the consumer is going to probably be in better shape as the year progresses because we still anticipate some interest rate cuts over the next few months. And inflation will probably not be as big an issue for the consumer. So that will also help the discretionary retailers, the clothing and furniture and homeware retailers. Then we have Coronation. That's a South African-based asset manager. The stock just doesn't look expensive at all. And we have started seeing savings outflows and investing outflows coming under pressure. So we've had outflows for years and years and years, and those outflows seem to be flowing. And of course, a consumer in better shape will also be able to keep their savings and invest it, and they won't necessarily have to draw down on them. So this stock, I think, is also one to own for the next, for the long term, and the opportunity is there to buy it now at a decent valuation.
Yeah.
And then our final local pick is Bidcorp. Bidcorp was a pick of ours last year, and it didn't do as well for us as we would have liked. But this company basically does food services. So you see Bidcorp trucks in South Africa, but they have a global footprint across the Asia Pacific region, across the United Kingdom and Europe, in the Middle East, and they basically provide the food that restaurants and hotels and catering companies require to actually make their product. So we think that it offers a compelling opportunity right now to get this really solid company at a pretty decent valuation.
Got you. Chantal, you've definitely given us more than what we asked for, and favorable outcomes in terms of the stocks that we can consider, those that we're familiar with and those that we might not be. But ultimately, as you say, really showing great investment fundamentals that we can look to invest in for the long term. And long term is what? Anything 3 to 5, 10 years? This is not money we're taking out at the end of December, right?
Absolutely not. I would say these are stocks that you can unless something drastically changes. So I would say a 10-year horizon.
100%. Thank you so much for your time this evening, Chantal. Truly appreciate it.
It's a massive pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Chantal Marks, Head of Investment Research at FNB Wealth and Investments, literally holding our hands and guiding us into some of the stocks that we can consider investing in for 2025 and beyond. For the long term is what's fundamental here, that even through the noise and, as she's mentioned, unless there's significant and major changes, the likes of BlackRock, L'Oreal, Birkenstock are just a few of the companies you can consider internationally to include in your portfolio. And locally, the Fashini Group, Bidcorp, Sun International, Prosus and Naspers, just a few of the companies that we can consider. So as you go about your way, looking to invest, maybe having ETFs, exchange traded funds that have exposure to these stocks, some great consideration that you can put in terms of your investment strategy. But make sure you do speak to a financial advisor just to make sure that you are aligned with your goals.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.